They're like friggin' Mormons. They're recruiting.
They say, how would you like to go out to the desert to see the sunset?
So dun, dun, dun.
Corruption, the IOC, come on.
Welcome to Colin's Screaming Argonauts. We're just two guys talking to anyone about everything. And today is Monday, February 15th, the birthday of someone we know and love. And with me to start the show is the fabulous Denali. Welcome, Denali.
Thank you for having me.
And we are going to call the Penguin pretty soon. Penguin is off on vacation, on location, in the beautiful state of New Mexico, where he's looking at pretty sunsets and cacti and rainbows. I don't know. He's going to give us the snoot about the little square state in the Southwest. Denali, you're familiar with New Mexico a little bit?
I am. I have a number of friends. There's a vibrant community in New Mexico that I'm familiar with and pleased about.
They're staying at the location of the Two Crosses, otherwise known as Las Cruces. Probably what we should do is just bring them in, unless you have something you want to enlighten us about the New Mexico.
No, not to be rude. Let's bring him in. So
all right,
it's not just you and I.
All right, fair enough. Here we go. We're dialing.
Hello.
Hey, there he is, the fabulous Penguin.
Hey, how are you?
Well, we're doing okay. We had some communication issues, as is typical for us.
Of course.
But I think right now we're 5x5, as they say.
All right.
On board with us is Denali. Denali, you remember the fabulous Penguin?
I love the Penguin.
Denali and I ran out of stuff to talk about pretty quickly.
Uh-huh.
But
well, I got plenty to talk about.
And there you are on vacation in the fabulous high desert.
In the high deserts of New Mexico.
So why don't you jump in there and tell us what we need to know about the high desert of New Mexico.
Okay, I will do that. Well, absolutely. It might be some of the most beautiful area I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's an interesting idea, high desert.
Yes.
I just like the sound of it.
Las Cruces, where we're looking, is at just around 4,000 feet, and
okay.
So it works out real nice.
Which makes it Albuquerque-ish?
No, much, much nicer than Albuquerque. Albuquerque is basically sea level and below Death Valley.
Albuquerque?
Well, it's just outside of Death Valley, yeah.
I thought
Death Valley to get to Albuquerque. So Albuquerque is much, much lower, so it's hotter and hotter longer.
I thought Albuquerque was in the high desert. So,
it's really not. It's at the start of it, I guess, maybe you could say.
So tell us about the Las Cruces.
Well, as you know, Mrs. Fab P and I are looking for a retirement.
And you're pretty serious about this is the place.
Well, you know, if you asked us right now, I would say that we would give it two thumbs up.
Well, that's not we're definitely moving.
Well, we're going to be contacting a realtor as soon as we get home.
We're definitely moving, or certainly interested.
Start the basic process. You know, the realtor, we have two different realtors here that we've been dealing with, and one of them, you know, talked about it's time to start looking in terms of finding out how many days on market our home would be, because if it's going to be 9 or 10 months, we may have some time to wait. But if it's going to be 3 months, you know, we can wait even longer. But if it's going to be 18 months, it may be time to start thinking about putting it on the market now.
Interesting. It's a great time to buy a house. Maybe not so much a great time to sell.
Refund. Yeah, the tax thing.
Well, and just that the housing market is depressed.
So, you know, coming up here was, you know, this is an exploratory. This is a look-see. And we hooked up with two different realtors that I'd say we probably looked at half a dozen houses.
Wow.
In one way, shape, or form, just to kind of get an idea of what would be best for us. And we're coming to the conclusion that it's going to be best to think about building, so the modifications that we'll need for me.
Building a house from scratch?
Building a house from scratch. We're actually taking on one that has, like, you know, been sited and started but not done on the inside yet.
Is there a lot of unfinished construction out there?
Absolutely. There's tons of it.
Oh, that's interesting.
Tons of it, yeah.
Because that's the warm flight area where all the snowbirds go.
It's becoming very, very popular. Just Las Cruces has been on the list of best places to retire to from the AARP and from several other groups like for the last 4, 5, 6 years in a row.
Oh, you said those words.
Yes, I did.
I hate to hear AARP. You know, they're sending
me things. Well, I'm not a member, but I've heard.
They're sending me things in the mail, and I refuse to open them.
Uh-huh. Well, I rip them up every time because I'm not ready to get my AARP card.
There you go.
But I do trust their
They're like friggin' Mormons. They're recruiting.
Well, that happens when you get to be 50. I mean, that's what they start doing.
Well, when I get to be 50, then I'll be interested.
No, you won't.
You're right. I won't.
So there are plenty of houses in our price range. We, like I said, we looked at about 6 different ones. We looked at some that were finished. We actually looked at one that the buyer had backed out that day. And if Mrs. Fab P and I were in a little bit of a different situation, we probably would have put a bid in on it.
Wow.
Because it was gorgeous. And we looked at some that had been started. One that hadn't even been sheetrocked yet, and one that was, you know, had the walls and stuff up, but had nothing done of the finishing work.
But you've got a couple more years of work yet.
Well, you know, that's a matter of opinion.
Oh.
Because I'm going, one of the things that we're planning to do when I get back is I'm going to apply for my 5-year upgrade. And if I get that, then we're really talking about the possibility of by next October I can get
Wow, I wish I had a 5-year upgrade.
It's one of those things.
I think I might like a 5-year downgrade.
Uh-huh.
My car needs a 5-year upgrade.
I want to be 5 years better. I don't want to be 5 years older, though.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Sure, please do.
You said that the half dozen or so dwellings, are they in and around Las Cruces?
Yeah, Las Cruces is a very, very interesting city. In a lot of ways, it's mindful of Worcester and Binghamton in that you have a central part of the town, but there are really nice main roads that go right in. So, I mean, you can literally be in the middle of downtown Las Cruces where there are, you know, shops and stores and malls and all that stuff and be in the desert, and I mean in the desert, in 10 minutes flat.
Yeah.
Taking 180 either south or west or...
Well, most of the new construction is happening in the northeast part of the city. That's where it's expanding the fastest, and then there is some in the southeast part of the city. The western part of the city is the old part of town. Mesilla is one of the areas, which is the original town of Las Cruces, I think, basically. And there's also a lot of pecan groves and stuff like that, the farming area down on that side. So we're looking in the northeast section. And there are basically just communities that have just sprung up, and what happened was when the market collapsed a few years ago, a lot of builders were caught with their pants down. They had bought areas, they had started houses, and they stopped building because the market collapsed.
Well, it's because the butt cracks were showing already.
Aha.
All right, so, cheap joke.
So now it's starting to, you know, it's starting to start again. But I mean, we looked at, besides looking at houses, we were also looking at communities, and we saw several areas where, you know, there might be, say, 30 or 40 homes that were built already, but there's lots for 100. So there's that predicted growth over the next 5 years. There's a very, very large community around the golf course in the northeast area that has about 4 different communities surrounding it. And that's the same kind of situation. One of those communities is fully developed, but the other 3 are not.
Outside of the – it's not Massachusetts. It doesn't snow.
Right.
What do you love about Las Cruces?
Well, the thing I think the most outstanding thing – well, there's 2 things. The first is as Mrs. Fab P says, is that I don't think I'll ever get tired of eating Mexican food and drinking beer. and there is lots and lots of really good Mexican food and beer. So that's a short-sighted thing.
On the
long-sighted thing, the most significant difference, even not counting the snow, the most significant difference is the fact that there is you've heard the term Big Sky Country.
Yeah.
This is it.
Yeah.
When you are sitting, we sat and we've watched 2 sunsets at the base of the Oregon Mountains, and I use that term loosely.
The Oregon Mountains?
Oregon, O-R-G-A-N.
You know, at first I thought you said Oregon, but...
No, I said Oregon.
You said Oregon.
and the reason that they're called that, I believe, and I'm not sure of this, so I'll deny that I said it if I'm proven wrong.
Because there's a lot of music teachers that retired there. See, you thought I was going somewhere else, didn't you?
No, the reason is because part of the mountain resembles organ pipes. You know, the organ pipes of big organs?
Sure.
Like in churches and stuff. Well, there's a section of the mountain range, maybe a good third of it, maybe, that resembles the organ pipes. And so I think that may be why they call it that.
Yeah, but
I mean, we were in the desert at the base of the Oregon Mountains, and at that point, the other mountains are 40 miles away, and it looks like you can reach out and touch them.
And is that the Colorado Rockies? Well, not the Colorado Rockies, but the Rockies?
Where we are in Ruidoso is the base of the Colorado, the base of the Rockies, but not in Las Cruces. That's still there's 2 or 3 different mountain ranges there, but it's not the Rockies.
All right, it's going to be about 28 degrees tomorrow, and irrespective of the snow, what's the temperature out there now?
Okay, Las Cruces right now is averaging between 60 and 65 every day.
Oh, that's too bad.
It gets down to about 29 at night.
Wow.
Right now. Well, it is exact. All the stories you hear about the desert, as soon as the sun goes down, the temperature drops because the skies are always clear.
Is it all purpley? I imagine it really, really purple.
Well, depending on if you get a little cloud, a little clouds in the sky. We watched the sunset yesterday, and it went from yellow to orange to red.
Wouldn't the purple thing be a question that I would ask?
I was wondering. See, I left the Oregon Mountains alone, but
you couldn't resist the purple.
That was a sincere question. I see, and Denali can correct me if I'm wrong. Purple skies and green cacti.
Well, that is very, very famous. I mean, the saying around here is that you, to see the best sunsets, you put the sun at your back.
I wonder if the Oregon Mountains doesn't have something to do with cactus.
It very possibly could, I guess. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I interrupted you. Go.
No, I was just going to say that's how a lot of people here watch the sunset, with the sun to their back, because you see all the colors reflected in the mountains. And there are, there's like 3 or 4 different mountain ranges in the Las Cruces area. Las Cruces is high desert plain, and it's surrounded by mountains.
It sounds pretty.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely gorgeous. It really, really is. I mean, it's just amazing how pretty it is. And the whole thing is, I mean, we drive through Ruidoso to Las Cruces is about 100 miles, maybe. Exactly. And we have to travel through the White Sands Missile Test Range.
Oh, yeah?
And stuff, and that is pure desert. I mean, that's just, basically cactus and sand.
White Sands
so
Missile
Range. Through that to get to other places and stuff.
Is that a nuclear facility?
No, it's the test range for the missiles.
You're also not far from Truth or Consequences, and you're not far from Roswell.
70 miles from Truth or Consequences.
And you got Roswell in the other direction.
Right, Roswell's in the other direction. And El Paso, Texas is only 45 miles away.
Truth or Consequences, New Mexico.
Yeah.
Supply your own joke here.
So I have to tell you, one more quick story on the Las Cruces report.
Okay.
Mrs. Fab P and I made a typical internet mistake, okay, that could very, very easily have ended up in a dumb, not so dumb segment on Countless Screaming Argonauts, but could have. We through a bulletin board, we had established some contact with a couple of people.
Uh huh.
Who live here, and we've been writing back and forth and talking with them for about 2 or 3 months. Both of the people write blogs, and we've been reading their blogs and stuff like that, and
mm-hmm.
they were all excited that we were coming to, you know, visit New Mexico and stuff, and they said, give us a call when you get here, and so dutifully, when we arrived on Friday, we called them, and, they said, well, let's get together, and, you know, we'd like to take you out and show you sunsets and, you know, maybe go out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So we said, sure. And so we invited them to our hotel room, which was mistake number one.
Uh-oh.
Because you don't do stuff like that with people you've never met before. You meet in very, very public places where in case they're axe murderers or slashers, you have a chance to get away.
Yeah.
But they are absolutely wonderful people.
All right. So
in fact, they're similar to us in so many ways. It's almost scary.
Mm-hmm. So what was the ex-murderer part?
Well, I think it's one of those things where you on the internet they tell you you don't go and meet people that you don't know.
Right. Don't invite them back to your hotel room. That makes sense.
Right. Don't invite them to your hotel room without letting other people know, et cetera, et cetera. So then we decide we're going to go out, and they say, "How would you like to go out to the desert to see the sunset?" So we
dun, dun, dun.
So they took us out into the desert, and they're telling us a story about this man who lived in a cave there, who was a missionary, I don't know, 150 or 200 years ago. And the story in a nutshell was when he went to – he was a hermit. When he left his group, they were very concerned about him. So they said, you have to light a fire every Friday so that we know that you're okay.
Yeah.
And one Friday he didn't, and they packed up their burrows, and they rode into the mountains, and they found him dead, stabbed in the back.
Whoa.
And so they told us that story while we're standing there in the middle of the desert with probably nothing but coyotes and roadrunners within 20 miles.
And these strangers.
So that was kind of a stupid thing to do, too. But again, these are really, really nice people. And then they took us out for green chili cheeseburgers and homemade crafted beer.
And killed you with their food.
And it was absolutely delicious.
Oh.
So we went to the High Desert Brewing Company and had green chili. Their famous green chili cheeseburgers, green chili cheese fries, and IPA and Amber Bock beer.
And you're getting all those vegetables, the green chilies. You're actually
well, absolutely, absolutely
becoming healthy.
I haven't had to blow my nose in about 4 days. It pours out.
Well, that is good. I know what that's like. There's a lot of people suffering up here in the Northeast with sinus explosions.
Yep. So anyway, that's the Las Cruces report. I'll have more to say next week.
All right. But no axe murderers. Everybody's wonderful.
Right.
Kumbaya.
Right, there you go. So now, can we switch topics for a minute?
Yep, sure.
I noticed on your blog that you had made a comment about the Olympics. So now with the Olympics here, I think we need to have a little bit of commentary. And I can think of no better person than Denali to talk about Olympic fashion.
Yeah.
Because I am very, very upset, like you obviously were.
Right.
With the United States uniforms.
Denali, have you seen what the mogul skiers are wearing?
Yes, I have.
And don't they look like pajamas?
They do, but they – part of the problem is not – it wouldn't matter what design you put on those outfits. It has to do with cut and size and wearability.
Well,
and if you choose to put a bad parka on a polar bear, it really doesn't matter what you paint on it. It's still going to be a bad parka on a polar bear.
See, does it have to do with hip-hop? Is it all about baggy clothes?
I think that that's probably a big part of it. We could probably ask College Boy. He would have, I'm sure, a comment or two about that himself. And I think that's part of it. Certainly that snowboard culture, you know, kind of does that. But I was disappointed in all the uniforms. I mean, I was watching the
Losers.
I wasn't watching them today. This afternoon, just for a little while, I was watching the cross-country skiers.
Yeah.
And at least there, you could tell for most of them what country they represented.
Yeah.
On their hat was either a flag or the three-letter symbol of their country or something similar to that. The part about the mogul skiers that bothered me was you couldn't tell where they were from. They could have been from anywhere in the world.
I think there was a muted stars pattern on the lower half of the jacket, and I'll suggest that we're not talking about baggy because of hip-hop culture. In the case of the mogul skiers, they are padded significantly underneath.
Oh.
So you've got to give a kid pants and a jacket that will go over all that stuff, as well as the layers that they're wearing, because they're standing around in the snow for hours.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And I wondered if my bias against hip-hop culture was biasing my view. Which...
I saw some nice things in the stands on Friday night at the opening ceremonies. There was a classic kind of an Irish knit sweater that all the women were in underneath their outer jacket. I think it became clear that hats were a personal choice, although several were repeated, so they may have had choices to go with different things.
I hate to keep talking about fashion, but I heard, did I not, that Calvin Klein designed the uniforms for the walk-in? I don't watch the opening ceremony, so I didn't see it, but I thought I read that. Some famous fashion designer designed the
I thought that it was Ralph Lauren to tell
Ralph Lauren, story. Yes, that's the guy.
Okay.
And I saw a picture of them and they looked cool. And I'll as long as they don't wear the hip hop clothes while they're racing, you know, if they're, but see, that's what I thought about the mogul stuff. I thought this is gonna slow them down. They're like the sailing ship, you know. There's these big sheety clothes, baggy clothes, and they're flopping around in the wind. But I have to bring this up, Denali, while I'm thinking about it, because we mentioned you in our last show. You remember this, Penguin?
Yes, I do. I know exactly where you're going.
You, in a previous show, Denali had mentioned that one way to catch up, if you were in the biathlon, which is one of the events that I like, is to shoot the person in front of you.
Right, right. And I was looking up something about biathletes, and I found a notation that a couple of years ago, in Stuttgart, Germany.
Stuttgart?
At either the German National Biathlon Competition or the European National Competition, the skier who was the favored winner was behind by more than 200 yards in the last 5 minutes of the race, and he shot his opponent in the butt.
And
he claimed it was an accident. He claimed that he missed the target, but he hit the guy right in the butt, and that guy could not finish, and he did.
And on one of the earlier shows, Denali had mentioned something about why don't they just shoot the guy in front of him?
So obviously he had a feeling about that, and I think that, again, we should have put that in our prediction show.
But we are at this.
A biathlete will be shot, huh?
Something like that. So we're doffing our collective chapeaux to you, Denali.
The Denali man.
Well, thank you. I'll take 1 minute on the games of the 21st Winter Olympiad, if
sure.
I may.
Sure, please.
I have been writing to some friends and family members my thoughts on the games, and my opening Gambit said that I believe that it's time that the Olympics found a home, or in fact, two homes. And I think that we should make a determination that the Summer Games are in
Greece,
City X, and the Winter Games are in City Y. Put them there, keep them there, leave them there.
Interesting.
Every 4 years, we end up with another dormitory slum.
Mm-hmm.
Every 4 years, we tear down a ski jump and build a new one. And I have to believe that if we build them once well and maintain them, that will ultimately, over two or three Olympiad, be less expensive than tearing it down and putting it up somewhere else.
I agree with you 100%. You know what I would add to that? Another thing that bothers me about the process is the whole fact that basically it's become a greed bowl.
And oh, yeah.
Getting into this whole thing about who's going to be the next Olympic city. You know, they're giving away the 2016 games, or they're giving away the 2020 games. And it's basically whoever can provide the biggest amount of bribe, gift, or whatever to the Olympic choosing committee, or whatever they're called, the International Olympic Committee.
No, wait, yeah.
Corruption, the IOC, come on.
I know, hard to believe.
It's hard to imagine.
With those French judges ice skating and stuff. But, you know, so I agree with you. I think that's an interesting idea. I guess the question would be, Denali, do you favor going with, like, the traditional? Do you think it should be in Greece every 4 years for the Summer Games? And if you do, then where would you put the Winter Games?
Well, Athens was not known after the Athens Games to have been a great success. There are significant security problems, and that's another thing. Vanock spent $900 million, or is spending $900 million on security. If you secure a permanent athletes' village, if you secure permanent venues, then you know how to secure them again 4 years from now. And
right.
I think that situation also ultimately saves money and keeps athletes and fans and visitors safer. I love the tradition of Athens, and I love the cozy hominess of a place like Lillehammer or Sapporo, but I don't think it's either are the long range right place. After London, the games are scheduled to be in Rio, and I say leave them there. It's big enough for everyone to get around, to get a cosmopolitan city, so it's not just Italian food. You need a town that's big enough to support the Olympic infrastructure and all the people who are coming. And as for the winter, I think we have to look at a European town, Garmisch, where they've been. Austria has hosted twice, if not three times. The North American Winter Games have had snow issues.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to get up the mountain where it's going to snow every day in January and February, because that's what you need. You need freezing temperatures and snow.
Well, it's an interesting idea. I don't see it ever happening because of the politics of it. There's too much money to be pushed around. As far as Rio goes, I've heard a lot of people say that irrespective of Chicago, Rio really was a poor choice because it's not at all a city under control. It's a violent city now, and that they don't have the infrastructure. That there's a tendency towards corruption, I think. There's something I can't remember the details now. I probably shouldn't be saying, but somebody said Rio needs another 12 years before they're ready to host international games. Now,
I guess we're going to find out, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah. And the point about never been to games in South America, I think, is a strong point. Is that the best city in South America? Maybe it is. Yeah, I don't know. You probably don't want to go into Hugo Chavez territory. We have a plant in Brazil, and they have extra security issues for people's laptops when they're traveling to Brazil because of the very high volume of personal effects that get stolen in Brazil. You know, Lillehammer, someplace like that, someplace that's settled and is niche-y, maybe would be all right for the Winter Games. I don't know about.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's the issue is trying to figure out a place. It would be interesting to do them in Berlin.
Yeah.
The history of what's happened there and what.
Yeah. And I think Denali makes a good point about Greece maybe just isn't big enough. I think that was your point. It wasn't a big success despite the fact of the original history being there. You need a little more cosmopolitan place. London, I have a hard time imagining as a host of a permanent host of an Olympics.
I love the comments when London was chosen. The French journalist said, "Where will we eat?"
That's funny.
There's some place cosmopolitan. You know, maybe it's time for Asia. They I hate to say it, but they did a great job in Beijing 2 years ago.
Yes, they did. They did.
Yeah, but no one could breathe.
Well, yeah, that's a really strong point.
What about the concept of doing, you know, instead of doing it all in one city, especially the summer games, if you did it in two or three cities, that way you could have one. Well, the problem with that is that if you have cross athletes who are doing more than one,
yeah,
you know, more than one sport.
Or more than one event, they have to go hopping from country
right,
to country.
Right.
What about as long as we're on the Olympics and we're this early
as
in the game?
As long as we're deciding where they should be.
Yeah. It's worth mentioning that there was an athlete killed before the games even started. And to me, it's just a horrible mistake to have created a possibility of somebody flying off the track and hitting a post. You know, it certainly was possible. It happened. And how do you build a track where you can go 90 miles an hour and fly off the track and hit a pillar? It's just,
yeah, you know.
And I look at the end of this run, I still see bare pillars. Now, I understand inertia, and this, according to where the sharpest turns are, there was no way for this guy to fly off the track. But they say you lose control 300 feet before you fly off the track. You know, at 90 miles an hour, where you lose it is not where you leave.
Right.
But I think two important points are made. One is that the top dozen athletes are not going to lose control to that extent.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I have a problem with is that you moved the men's start to the women's start. You moved the women's start to the juniors start. This afternoon, Tony Kornheiser said, "Where will the juniors start?" but when they were crossing the line, when they finally did get competition started, they were saying, "Oh, only 83 miles an hour."
Yeah.
So 85, 86, 87. Do you really think someone's not going to die at 83?
Right. Especially if you're still hitting a fixed, solid
yeah.
object.
Right.
You know, and they put up a wall afterwards to keep anybody from flying off at the same spot. Couldn't they have thought of that before? Just,
well,
you
wonder about that. But isn't this the same sort of thing, ultimately, that something like NASCAR goes through? I mean, they take these cars and they keep designing them and they get them faster and faster and faster.
Not anymore.
Right. Then they put engine restrictors on her, you know.
Right.
And they say you can't do this for the design. You can't do that for the design. You know, it's the same sort of thing. I mean, here you have this, you know, these losers who maybe 40 years ago didn't go 40 miles an hour
right.
or 50 miles an hour, but now with the titanium runners and the outfits, the skin-tight outfits and all the aerodynamics and all the training and, you know, yada, 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 all of a sudden now these guys are going 85 miles an hour and you know, it becomes lethal, obviously.
Which gets us back to the uniforms.
This track was open for the World Championships a year ago. Most Olympic venues have to have a competition before. So this
right.
thing was close to this fast a year ago.
That's
and
fair.
And what died. This is freakish. This is not something that happens every day.
But they took over 500 feet off of the track. That's, I mean,
so they wouldn't go as fast, right?
Right, and instead of going 90, they're going 85.
Right.
But getting back to the uniforms, I think the Luge uniforms suck too for the Americans. I don't want to see orange flames on an American. I think it's gauche and stupid.
Well, you know that. Like I said, the interesting thing about the cross country skiing today was the fact that you could tell at least what country the people were from, and you know, orange flames. You know, to me, says maybe NASCAR doesn't say Olympic athlete.
Yeah, I want to see red, white, and blue, or red, or white, or blue. I think the Canadian on the moguls, the Canadian uniforms at least looked a little classy. I kept thinking about the Southern Cross in Australia when I saw the Americans. It, you know, you don't look and see and say, hey, those are Americans.
Right, right.
It's not obvious. And then on the short track, and I hate the short track. And I've never been a fan of Apollo Ono since he got his first gold medal, and I saw a refresher on that last night. He made it like somebody got in his way, and they disqualified the guy that got the gold medal. This is like 8 years ago, and they gave it to him. And I thought, well, that's bogus. I hate this sport where the judges can throw out a gold medal performance and say it goes to the other guy.
So you don't like Olympic basketball then, right?
I don't. But especially – years ago when they stole
or Olympic figure skating for that matter.
I don't watch Olympic
figure skating.
You know, I like what I like. I like the biathlon. It's just so odd. I enjoy watching the biathlon. I love the long track skating. I like the downhill skiing. There's a lot of the Winter Olympics I really like. The short track skating, I hate it.
Yeah, I believe ballroom dancing was once an Olympic sport.
They were trying to get it to be an Olympic sport. Not for me. Did we extravaganzize the...
I think we might have. If not, we might have done two shows about it. So.
All right.
It makes plans to invite Denali back, or if he's not available, maybe Manhattan Man can come back and talk about...
some more Olympics?
The 21st Olympiad.
Go ahead. You people make your choice for that. Vulgar animal. That's fine. If you don't want me back, that's just fine.
Well,
I thought, Denali, I thought you and Manhattan Man had made up.
He'll make some beer joke about the rings. It's just. whatever. I don't care. I know. I already know. I'll be back.
Stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot.